So you can reverse it, and you can get multiple ranges. We call that slicing. So you get a string slice. That means you get a particular...
I would rather have a cake slice.
I hope you remember. It's a while ago now.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to look into, like, why does it make sense and how easy it is to get started with doing something with programming. And now the idea is to start with the basics and really get something going.
Mm-hmm.
So I have prepared a couple of slides and want to go over them together with you. In order to do this, let's jump right back. I think that's better like this. So the picture that you can see here on the screen, that snake, is actually the symbol of a Python programming language. And Python has a specific philosophy. Basically, you can import this, and then you see the philosophy. Instead of reading it here on the slide deck, I think it's much more interesting to explore this directly hands-on. Okay? So let's move back where we started last time. We were exploring the tool PyCafe as an easy place to get started writing some code. Can you take over the control, Dean, and you basically drive what I'm telling you to do? So let's click the Streamlit app as last time. And instead of basically starting the Streamlit app here, let's simply actually delete everything and simply type print hello. Now, if we rerun this, we should very soon see the output. In fact, that should show it to us. Exactly. Here in the corner, we see the result. So simply typing print hello will basically allow us to do something. But
So you mean on the left side, we have our comments, and on the right side, we see results?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
So instead of typing here print hello, can you import this like we have seen here?
Import this? You mean what?
Can you type this? Import this.
Import this here instead of hello?
No, instead of everything. So delete everything here.
Mm-hmm.
And now type import
and
this.
Import this.
If you import this special module, this, you basically can get in touch with the Zen of Python.
So this, because Python is this therefore we get
a bit of a joke, but it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And basically you can see these items would make out Python, would make Python special. And then basically, beautiful is better than ugly, and explicit is better than implicit, and simple is better than complex. So these are the three main, let's say,
pillars
or items that make Python very, very useful, in particular also to newcomers like you are. So the idea is actually to have something that is readable, simple, that gets the job done, but allows you to solve your problem. And the idea is that even special cases should not be special enough to break these rules, and that it should basically be better to solve a problem now than never. So the idea is that the human is more important than basically the computer. So the idea is that there's no need for hand optimizing the low level code, but basically it is good enough to write the high level, easy to understand Python code, and the rest should work just fine. At least as long as you don't try to do something crazy. But for the start, that's not what we're up to. In different programming languages, like for example in Java, you may need a lot of boilerplate code, here. Boilerplate code,
what
so stuff that you're actually not really interested in order to type print in Java. You have to write all of the additional text here as well. But in Python, as you have seen before, you can simply type print and the text, and you're basically finished. So it's much more concise. So it requires less boilerplate code. Or in other programming languages like C++ here, it also takes a lot of additional text. However, in Python, as we have seen before, it's simply exactly what you want to say as a human being. So there's no need for this boilerplate to make the computer understand what you want to do. It's basically batteries included, everything's simple.
Mm-hmm.
As I mean, the same thing, we could also print, let's say, print 1+1, and the output that we get.
Yeah, would it be two or 1+1? Okay. So in terms of words, it will give the specific word we type in, and in terms of a calculation or function, it gives the result, yeah?
Yes, you can use it to write a comment. So when we basically add this here, computer will not execute this line. So we can write, this line is not executed. And we can add additional context that another human that should read the line needs to understand. Maybe you have made certain assumptions, and then you can state them here so that another human who is working with this can easily follow them.
So it won't be visible in the result part, it will be visible only in the comment part.
Yes, it's only visible in raw source code. It is not visible in basically the output. So there are different types of comments that you should be aware of. You have these single line comments, that's with a hash or pound symbol. And then you have multi-line comments. Multi-line comments are convenient if you want to document something longer.
But why is there a difference?
Why? Because basically the computer somehow has to understand that the comment is longer than a single line. And you somehow have to tell the computer that ignore whatever comes between these particular symbols here and just treat it as a comment.
Okay, so with hashtag only one line comments,
yes.
Yeah?
Okay. We have briefly touched upon variables last time, right, with the input and the slider. But what is a variable? Basically, it's a thing that has a name. Not so hard, right? So we can say the thing is named X and the value is 2, for example. Let's do this and explore it hands-on. Do you want to add this here?
What exactly? A variable or
yes.
What exactly? Because there were different types of them.
So we can say X equals 2.
So one question before that. So always between those characters, we need to put a space? Or
no, it's just nicer to read.
Okay.
So you can also type it like this, but it's not as readable.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, later on, we will touch on tools that help us automatically format the code. They clean it up according to specific coding standards that some people agree on, that it looks nice.
Okay, but space, it doesn't matter.
It
in
doesn't
Python?
Matter.
No.
It depends
Maybe in some,
on what you want to do, but in general, it doesn't matter so much.
Okay.
And here we can, for example, interact with it and multiply it. And then we will also eventually get some outcome, but only if we print it. Otherwise,
so to get the out, yeah?
Otherwise, we don't see it.
Okay. So, but what about like other actions or calculations? Every time we want to see this result, we need to put print before. So print is just to define that it will come into output section or no?
Basically, yes. In the future, we'll see like a couple of other options to do it as well. But for the start, this is the most straightforward approach to see something.
Okay.
So you just type print and then the thing that you want to look at and then you will see the output. And we can do these operations like adding something, assigning something with numbers, with text, with pretty much anything that you can think about. We can even do this with code itself, so something like a function where it is computing something. We can even assign that one to a variable and then do something with it.
A whole function, okay.
And some programming languages explicitly require you to set some type. In Python, this is not necessary. So as we have seen, right?
What do you mean with my type?
So some programming language require you to specify that X is a number.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But here, as you can see, we don't need to do this. So this again makes the code very readable. Imagine pen and paper and some math code that you want to crack. Python is pretty similar to that. So there's not necessarily so much additional fluff around it. And that can be neat for simple things in particular. However, types are not gone. Types are still here. So if we ask the computer what is the type of something, we will actually get it back. So if we go here and type, you want to look at it, like print type of, let's say, X, and we will see the output is a class, and the computer understands on its own that this particular class is type integer or type number. Integer is basically discrete numbers like 1, 2, 3, natural counting numbers. And then the computer inferred this automatically. There are means in Python to explicitly assign a type, and that can be useful in certain scenarios, but for the start, we will omit them for the sake of simplicity. But when you build larger amounts of software, it can make a lot of sense to add them in, because basically types are like a kind of contract. And when you and I have a contract and we have a handshake and say we agree on something, then it's easy if we maybe write it down and if it's not only verbally. And the same goes for the types. It's easy to check later what the contract was about if you write this down with the types. And with that, let's dive into a little bit of numbers. Well, we can do basic calculator things with numbers by simply assigning the basic calculator symbols, and that just works. Let's not take too much time for this and rather explore it later hands-on, because I think that's quite clear for you. What is maybe less clear are things that a normal calculator doesn't show this way. Maybe it's something like this. It would be an integer division, or here the modulus operator, or some exponentiation. They might have different, let's say, layouts, these types of functions on your normal calculator. But the basics ones are probably clear. Boolean values are values that are either true or false. And we can have some algebra around them as well, and then have calculations, or we can check certain values of them. Like, for example, here we can multiply them and see that the result is not true. We can see that some other result might be true, however. This allows us to check conditions. So in the past, we were talking about this example, right, where you have specific data sets. And maybe an energy plant is reporting their kilowatt hours. One of the preconditions might be a check that this is actually kilowatt hours, not kilowatt minutes or watt minutes or something else. But a specific type is matching, also semantically matching, your expectations. And you could have some kind of automated check, similar to what we see here, that is doing a quality assurance on the input data that you're processing in that Excel. And if you have that check, obviously the program or the Excel that you create will be more reliable later on, because it will automatically point out any inconsistencies or problems with the input. Well, and there's obviously text. Like, a lot of data is text. And by default, the text is more or less the dummy default type for almost anything. And text can get quite tricky, so it has characters that you might not know from the standard Latin alphabet. It can be invisible characters, even that sometimes hackers use to trick people, or characters that look like an A but are Cyrillic A, and are similar for domain and typo squatting topics. So it can be a bit tricky with characters, but in general, they look like you would expect them to look like, and operate in the same way like the numbers work. You can add and even multiply text. So what do I mean with multiply text? Well, if we say instead of X is Joe is hello, for example, we can now still multiply X.
So one question, if we want to have our variable to be text, then we need to put it in this, how do you say emphasis?
with quotes, yes, with the single quotes.
Yeah, is it necessary? So he understands this is our variable? Or?
Yes, so basically text could be a space and we could say hello Dina. And then in particular for this reason, it's important where it knows like the whole text should be this variable of X. And now, as I told you, we can repeat it. What does it mean? We just multiply the text and then we concatenate the text here.
7 times, huh?
Yes, 7 times. I mean, people should know your name now.
Maybe 7 are watching, huh?
Yes, and Dina is a really brave student, and I hope that over time you will learn something from me.
Thanks.
And eventually, maybe, yeah, be able to apply pieces of this to automate things that you're annoyed with.
Yeah.
So this is text, basically. But text is a culmination of characters. So for example, if we have a text like Arthur, we start by 0 and then we have these particular characters and they have all their index.
What do you mean with we start by 0?
So if we go here and say print X in the place of 0.
Wait, in the place of 0?
Yes.
In the place of 0. But so with this, you mean that everywhere there's a 0, you put this variable or what?
No, what I mean is like these characters here, they are side of a list of characters and together they form the string, right?
Okay. Ah.
And the first one, we give it the letter 0 or the digit 0. The next one, 1 and so on. So we start with 0. But otherwise, we just count them and we can look at them individually.
But these, wait. These two comments, print x is 0 and x instead of 1, these two define that the first character of the string is 0 and the last, what do you mean exactly?
No,
what
define.
We have done here?
So basically, we have defined that x is a specific. Let me delete this so it's more clean. We have defined that X is this particular variable. Let's say your name, Dina. And now the first letter would be D and the second letter would be I. So if we want to manipulate the text and replace them or do something with that text, mm-hmm. we need to access the individual characters, right?
But you just said that the first character you said is D. However, now you have written print X instead of 0. So why this 0?
So basically, the characters are a list.
Yeah.
So what do you mean?
Yeah, D is the first one, second
yes.
is I, and so on. Yeah.
Yes. And they're basically a list. And if you ever want to access the element in the list, you have to use this bracket notation to. Always indexing, select that particular element from the list.
Mm-hmm. So A is the 0 element and not the first. So here D is the 0 element or the first element?
The first element is a 0 element. So we start by counting with 0 and we don't start by counting with 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we can then take the last element, the A is at position 3, so the fourth element, because we start by counting with 0.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go one further, let's say 4, we should see an error, and it tells us, oh, this doesn't work. We are too long now.
Mm-hmm.
This can actually go both ways, and we can reverse this indexing as well. And we can even select a at least a subset. Yeah, that is more than one item.
I'm curious because Arthur has actually it has 6 digits. Very no, but if it has 6 elements, so to say, then it should be only from 0 to 5. Why
yes,
it's 6?
This is why we wanted to demonstrate the error case that we had here.
Okay. Cutouts.
No, it's okay, I guess, to keep that. Because everyone should learn, right? And these questions are not bad by any means. It's really important to ask these questions. So you can reverse it and you can get multiple ranges. We call that slicing. So you get a string slice. That means you get a particular...
I would rather have a cake slice. Right now we just ate.
Too much chocolate, huh?
I didn't get any. Okay, so cut.
No, but string slices are like cake slices, actually. That's a good analogy, Tina. And basically, you get a piece of a string. However, unlike cake slices that ideally are all equal in size and equally good in taste, that doesn't matter. Not necessarily, but ideally, it doesn't matter which one you take here with the string slice. The position totally matters. It's really important. Because as you can also see here, like depending on the position, you get a different result. Sometimes for non-ideal normal real cakes, it's the same. If you don't specify an end or start condition for these sliced cakes,
then
you basically get a bigger piece of it.
So never specify, huh?
That can be a convenient thing to do.
And why there are two equality marks here?
Because the idea is to show that this is the output.
So you actually, if you would type it in, you wouldn't need to type 2, yeah?
No, you don't need to do it. In fact, let's just try it and show it. So here, if you remove it like that, instead of IN of Dina, we would see Dean.
Now I'm confused because I thought the D is the 0.
Yes.
Character. This is the first and this is the second. But we asked to give the result until the third element. So it, to my understanding,
yes,
it should be
the third
whole
element, but it's 0, 1, and 2. So D is 0, I is 1, and N is 2.
Exactly.
But
and where's the third one?
No.
It's until, it's not including, it's excluding the third one.
No, it's including the third one, but it's excluding the fourth one, like 3. We're starting to count from 0, so 3 would be referencing
wait,
4,
wait,
right?
Wait. Again, we start to count from the 0.
Yes.
Therefore...
So D is 0, right?
Yeah.
I is 1.
Yeah.
And N is 2.
Exactly.
And A would be 3.
Yeah.
But here, we're going until 3. That means we exclude 3. This means we exclude A, the fourth element.
Mm-hmm. We
and
exclude
0,
it.
1, 2, that is D, I, N are included.
And do you also have it like in math that if you use this other bracket, then it's either including or excluding? In the math, it was like that.
That is possible, and we will later see how to do this in more, let's say, complex scenarios. But here, the default option is sort of excluding it. You can even get a bit more complex and pass in a step size, but that's something I would say we skip for now. And you can convert between the types of values. So you can make a number to behave as if it was a string. Or you can convert a string back into a number. That is actually really important. So again, let's come back to this example. The energy data, maybe one power plant is sending you a bit of messed up data. Where they have mistyped some formatting. And then maybe they send you data like this, where the numbers are in the shape of a text value. And then you need to clean this up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how often you had to do stuff like this by hand in Excel, but I imagine even doing it once can be super daunting. And here you can easily automate this. But you have to be advised, if they put something here that is not a number, let's say, at some other text value that cannot be passed to a number, then you will get an error message from the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is it with the basic scalar values. That being said, do you have any questions before we move on to collections?
We can move on, yeah.
Okay, then let's look over into lists. Yeah, we will deep dive on them very soon. So we have already seen one type of list. It was the string, where it sort of the string was implicitly a list of characters. But we can also construct our own lists. As you see here, 1, 2, 3, and put them into these square braces. This is the array of a list, basically. And at least for the sake of Python, it's sort of the same thing, but underlying it is an array list that is sort of an object that is automatically adapted on the size. So there are other types of arrays that are more optimized, perhaps, but they're more complex and not the ones we will be looking at for the start. So for your purposes, you can always think square braces and items inside. But it's a list of all these cake pieces, cake slices. So some lists might be empty, others might have numbers, and even more might have letters. And in Python, it is possible to even mix the types. So you can mix, for example, numbers and text in one list. That can be quite tricky in more typed or more strongly typed programming languages, because they tell you this list is only supporting text and not numbers, or only supporting one of the types and not a combination. However, for someone using or consuming this list, it can be a bit simpler, because we can trust that this list has a well-defined type, right? So here, if you expect to get numbers and the only element is a text, you might run into issues. And it's possible to add and remove those elements for the list. For example, here, adding elements at the end, simply calling
where do you have it
to
at?
Append. So it's here at the bottom of the screen. Is this clear, or are there any?
What do you mean with add? We can add the elements and then.
Okay, let's try.
Do I need to understand
code.
This dot
append? Let's do it. Let's do it hands on. Let's say my list is Lena. Georg. So now if you want to append something, we can simply add it. And now the question is, Tina, what should we add here?
So append means we want to add something to the list, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not English native, therefore for me it's good to explain this.
So what should we add here? A child, maybe. So, as you can see in the output, we start with a list that is basically only containing you and me,
yeah.
And then we add a child.
Yeah. Okay, so dot append is basically adding.
As we have done before, we can also get elements from this list at a particular index or cake slice. Is this understandable for you? So we can sort of apply the same concept that we had before also to this list again.
What do you mean with this?
So we can, again,
just like basically to say, okay, what was in this position?
Yes.
Which element was in this position?
So we can take, for example, the zero position.
Okay, and that's me then. Lina.
And then we will get you back, for example.
Yeah.
Or we can
take
the range and get both of us
back. Yeah.
So here, you will see both of us.
Yeah. And why two times, actually?
So this particular shell is printing twice because it's, first of all, keeping all the output that we had before. So you see all the old things from before. And twice will be printed here and here. So you have it, both of us, we add the child, and then we can take the subset. So if we print three times, you would see us together with a child and then alone again.
Because, can you go back before you did? No, before you did. Before you added these things? Before you added another time? Where we just had two times, Dina and Georg, output.
Yes, you can simply delete it here.
What do you mean, delete, but now it's still visible?
Yes, this is the log. Basically, it contains all the things that we have done in the past. So it's not cleared. So when we rerun it, it doesn't self-delete the log. I think we might be
If we
able
delete
to.
some,
I think we might be able to delete it somewhere. I don't know.
Okay.
But very soon we will move away from PyCafe to something a bit more flexible, and there you will also be able to delete the log. It can sometimes be very convenient if you want to find a bug.
Okay. Because here we saw,
Yes, but can totally be confusing if it keeps a log angry.
Well, we covered the basic lists, and in similar fashion, you can have more complex lists that are nested. We'll see this in a minute. As said before, elements can be indexed. So for the nested list, we can have lists of lists. So we can, as you can see here, for example, we can have sublists as elements of a list. Is this understandable, Dina?
So listed lists are nested lists.
Yes. Okay. Listed lists. I like your analogies, like the cake slices, right? Python has a couple of, let's call it magic functions. For example, this one, it gives you the length of an array or the length of a string. So you can always call this length function on the input and you will get the right value. It's quite useful to know.
Mm-hmm.
Or for example, you can test if one element is in another one, like if a character is inside of a list of characters, like a string. So this membership test is also some generic functionality, but it's quite useful. For console.io, we already covered the print, write something. You can also ask the user for input, like for example, request the name, control flow. So if you want to control the flow of a program.
What do you mean the flow of the program?
The flow, basically, it's like a cooking recipe, right? And if the water is hot, then you can boil the potatoes, and otherwise you have to wait a little bit longer until the water is hot. So you branch the instructions on what has to be done in what condition.
Sequences, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you control the sequences, basically. And this is how that looks like in Python. So if the water is hot, then you boil the potatoes. It's
mm-hmm.
Not super fancy.
Oh, wait, can you go back? Because for me, it doesn't look like a flow. It looks more like a if statements, you know, if something is right, then this, if this doesn't apply, then that, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it doesn't necessarily mean flow. For it means a conditional.
Yes, it's just conditionals. But if you combine more than one, you eventually end up in a flow, right?
Okay.
Like the cooking recipe.
But with this flow, everything is in these if sentences or doesn't matter?
Yes. The condition is constrained there in this line, basically, where you define it.
And do you have also other options than if? Or you have you
yes,
always
there are other it? Options. So, for example, there are possibilities to have other data structures and then perform key-based lookups. But if is one of the most easy options, and there is a possibility for loops, for example, to iterate over elements. But we will come to this soon.
Okay.
Yeah, you can basically have some harmonization on how your editor looks like, but let's dive on this later, hands-on. If statements like this one are relevant if you have more complex control flow, but this is exactly what we just discussed a minute ago, so I think that should be rather clear. It's like a complex cooking recipe that I usually don't understand.
Mm-hmm. And this elif, we currently don't need to know. Yeah, this we will see.
Basically, this is just chaining the conditions.
Chaining?
So this is the first condition with the if.
Yeah.
And then if you have another condition that you want to evaluate, then that's else if or elif in short. And then the last, that's the catch-all. If everything else didn't apply, then this one will happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We could check, given a word, what is the reversed word? And if they are the same, we could say they are palindrome. This is a rather naive implementation, but still it gets the job done. There's a possibility to look at what variables are truthy or falsy. So for example, you can evaluate whether the Boolean value of none.
What is bool?
So we have discussed before, right? Boolean values, true and false.
Okay, this is the same.
And this is sort of okay. The same thing. So given some input, you can evaluate if it's true or false. Loops, Dina. Well, we can iterate over items. So when you have a basket of cake slices, you eat them all, right? One after the other. At least this is what I would do.
That's what normal people do, of course. Eat all of them.
And then this is what we can do here with the loop. Basically, we iterate and take the item from the iterable and then call a function, for example, and then do something with it. For example, consume it and eat it. Enjoy the job. We can generate lists of numbers, for example, numbers from a range here. And that can be useful if you want to iterate over the first three items, for example. Always keep in mind that this is zero indexed. So it is including the lower bound and then excluding the upper bound. Or loops can be stopped, for example, with a break condition. And then it will jump out of the loop before the loop has ended.
Can you come again? For loops, what?
So if you, assuming you eat all the cake slices, and you have 10 in the basket, but you only manage 3 because you're already full after 3 cake slices, well, then you have to break out of a loop, right? And stop eating the other 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And this is the same thing, basically. And with continue, we can skip some statements, but in general, these two are not the easiest ones to handle, especially as things get more complex. Explanation about functions. Well, we can easily create a function that creates some parameters, like here function name, param1, param2, and then do something with the data. Let's explore a function here. Let's make a function that is multiplying, for example, the input. So we def multiply a and b, and we return a times b. Now we can print multiply Tina, for example, is, and we can also run multiply on numbers like that. And then we will see an output if we click rerun. Here we get it. So this is all that there is to functions, basically. And with the return statement, we ensure that the value gets returned to the caller. Assuming you only want to find prime numbers, then we could iterate over all the numbers and then check if it is prime and only if it is a prime number. Basically return the value. How do we check if a number is prime?
Whether if we divide it with some numbers, whether there's left, how do you say this, leftover?
Yes, exactly. So there is no nothing left over. So we have
all the cake is eaten, huh?
You can basically take all the numbers that come before this number and check if any one of them would divide it. And if it would divide it cleanly without any remainder, then it is not a prime number, basically. So there are a lot of more topics to come. This was a brief dive about what we were looking at for now. And slowly, we will look into more and more and get more hands-on.